just basic, you know, pure panic. When you see an angry swarm that big coming at you, it's very terrifying.
I would imagine. Only on 10 News, an Oceanside man barely escaped this angry swarm of bees. The remarkable video he shot as they bounced off the windows is now viral. Reporter Michael Chen reveals what happened moments before that set those bees off.
Dang. Wow.
Just before this happened.
Very shocked, and I was very scared at the time.
Brandon Mansfield was outside his second-story apartment Tuesday.
Just shoot at them, and they flew away.
He swatted away a few bees and then went back inside.
I grabbed the trash, and then from here, within seconds in my direction, there were thousands of bees.
The angry cloud,
you know, pure panic,
blotted out two trees.
When you see an angry swarm that big coming at you, it's very terrifying.
With only seconds to spare, Mansfield ran inside and from his bedroom window.
I was just out there, imagine.
He recorded this on his phone, even with the window shut. You can hear some of the buzzing feet away, his stunned wife.
It was amazing. It was like, I scared a lot.
As he describes it, the bees were really trying to get into the apartment, bouncing off the glass over and over and over.
All morning and all afternoon, the bee attack kept coming.
It was like out of a movie. It was like out of one of those 90s killer bee movies. It was insane.
The bees so aggressive.
Good God.
They ended up stinging the exterminators through their suits. 2 days later, a storage closet full of dead bees and a family breathing a sigh of relief.
I was literally 1 or 2 seconds away from being stung probably hundreds of times. An incredible sight. Not one I ever thought I would see.
Michael Chen.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is part two of the Hillary interview. I am glad you're here. I'm glad you're surviving bee season. So this is, I'm recording this the weekend before Combo Breaker. We leave on, I think, Wednesday. And we're there all week, all weekend. And it's going to be incredible. So I just want to check in once again, and tell you a little bit about the episode. So this part of the Hillary interview, you're gonna get what you want. We're gonna talk about Vampire. We're gonna talk about Third Strike, Skullgirls, him moving to Seattle, and meeting Kyle and forming VMPNW. So that's what you're gonna get on this part of the interview over here. So once again, it was an awesome interview, and thank you, and love you, Hillary. So I hope you enjoy. But just want to say, yeah, Combo Breaker. That's coming up in a couple days, so you'll see and hear me. I don't know if I did an announcement. I might post something on Twitter about it, but I did get picked to do commentary. So commentary, Bogard, Power Wolf, Buster Geyser. So you're gonna hear me and see my beautiful face. So yeah, me and my good friends are gonna be doing it. It's gonna be fun. So shout outs to everybody participating in Vampire at CB 2023. So that's the big news going on. I'm rolling up there with my brothers, me, Ethan, Alex. You get all three of us this time. The whole Bellamy crew once again rolling out in the Dodge Caravan, or I don't know what we're driving in, the Ford Fiesta. I don't know, but we'll see you guys there. And I'm gonna be running around with my phone, asking people questions and stuff like I did last year. I did Combo Breaker 2022 mixtape, so if you want to check that out, you can. Talk a lot of people on there. Talk a lot. What am I even talking about? Whatever. I'm having my coffee now, so I'm just waking up, but. Everybody, I hope you enjoy the episode, and I will see y'all on the other side of Combo Breaker. So tune into that. Vampire Arcadia, my team is going to be running the stream for a lot of the retro stuff on this weekend coming up. I know we got Guilty Gear Accent Core Plus R, which is one of my favorite games. So I'm really glad we get to stream that. I think Third Strike and Super Turbo, those are kind of like staples we do as well. Office Depot, the staples remover. So anyways, enough about corporate slogans. Let's get the Bone Claw Logan and get to the meat and potatoes of this and get to the interview. So I love y'all, and I will, see ya at Combo Breaker or after Combo Breaker. But thanks for tuning in, and have a nice Fetus to Pod. Peace, y'all.
Yeah. Damn. So you're, yeah. I've been told, and I've, you know, just from talking to you throughout the years we've known each other, that like I knew Tekken was like your heart. Like yeah. I yep. knew it. Yep. I knew it. Now I obviously it's unfolding. Yeah. I'm knowing the story better. But so taking your time with Tekken, and you're still super into Tekken.
Yeah, I got back into it with 7. I did take a break. I would say.
Yeah, what was the break if you took a break from the game?
The break was first off forced in Tekken 5. So we were really into Tekken 5. We really liked the game. We had fun with it. We were not as results driven with that game because, to be honest, we started growing up. You know,
yeah,
we started
having lives. Dude, that's what happens. Yep.
We weren't 16, 17 year old kids that could, you know, move states.
Fuck off.
And,
oh, yeah.
But obviously, we knew a whole bunch from previous games. You know, we were crazy about Tekken Tag, and it was a little bit more of a return to form for movement in Tekken Tag.
Yeah.
And so we were enjoying it. And then Tekken 5 DR, which is the title update for that game, came out.
I remember that there was a GameWorks.
And Dallas got one fucking cab in the most expensive mall in the most expensive arcade. And it was super duper far from all of us. Oh. So we didn't have the means to practice it.
Yeah.
And it never got a home port until way later. Like, I think it was like a PSP or some other system, maybe a Vita or something. I don't know. But it got a mobile port, basically. And it was just like, functionally dead on arrival for us.
Yeah.
So we had no means to practice it. So we stopped. You know, like okay. I still hung out with those people. They're still friends. They're still dear to me.
Yeah.
Like I said, Jin Kid ended up moving in with me and we would, you know, play a whole bunch of other stuff.
Sure.
So that was the time where I was like, I still got that feeling like I need to connect with something. I still need that lens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
all that sort of stuff. So
keep that drive going, right?
Yeah. That was around the time that I started playing on the PC side. I started playing Brood War, which was, you know, if you know anything about StarCraft Brood War,
yeah.
It's probably that it is one of the fastest in terms of APM games that you can play.
Okay.
It's one of the most, like, you have to absolutely just be in control of a mouse and keyboard and be doing insane things to connect to this game at, you know, a meaningful level.
Okay.
So I'm playing Brood War and I'm playing Third Strike.
Ah, nice. Okay, cool.
This is when Third Strike reached out to me, and I will say this to my grave that Third Strike is not a Street Fighter game.
Okay.
Third Strike.
I'm not disagreeing with you at
all. Third Strike is somewhere between.
I love that game. I'm not disagreeing.
Yeah. It's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Yes. No,
Third Strike is somewhere between a 3D game and how it approaches things. And you can say this about Mortal Kombat now, too. But in a different way, it is very similar to a 3D game and, you know, how defense plays out, where it's like you have to be so in tune with what the other person wants to do and check it and call it out and not just hyper specific ways, but in like variable ways with like a scaling reward system up and down. You can block it, you can parry it, you can jump it, you may have a profiling option, you may have like a throw that beats it, you might have something else, whatever.
Yeah.
There may be some properties on moves that you can get around with, like, you know, cues not throwable when he's standing up from a crouch or something weird. It got people thinking about a lot of things in very 3D ways.
Yeah, and, sure.
And then the other side of it is that it's also a KOF game. I firmly believe that KOF's popularity.
I mean, execution in that game. I mean,
yeah. I firmly believe that KOF's popularity, SNK's popularity in general, that whole fight that SNK and Capcom were having, that really drove Capcom to be like, we have bombed out on two iterations of what is supposed to be our flagship game.
Yep.
To this other company.
Yep.
So we are going to start lifting everything we can to meaningfully give that same experience. So, like, the nature of footsies and confirms, and people don't realize it, but a universal overhead is a fucking short hop. Like,
no, it is. Yeah, it is.
Like, that sort of thing. And, like, so to me, playing that was, like, it felt very comfortable. It
cool.
felt very good.
Felt at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Third Strike, a game that definitely gained its popularity way later in its life.
Yep.
Because it came out like 99, I think, in Japanese arcades or something. 99, 2000,
yeah,
like the Dreamcast port.
It was like not even early 2000s when I really started thinking of it. It was like mid 2000s.
Exactly.
It was like 2006, I think, when all that was going off. Because
like the 3 series, I remember seeing like, you know, Street Fighter 3 New Generation, and I never saw a 2i in arcades here. I've never seen that in an arcade in Ohio. But I remember seeing Street Fighter 3 New Generation at King's Island was like, this looks fucking crazy. What is this? Yeah. And then like nobody played it, and then it just kind of dissipated. And then you have Third Strike coming out later, and then like no one played that either. Yep. And then we didn't have like a cab of that around here. So it was like all of a sudden, yeah, like mid-2000s, as you're saying, I'm online and shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck, like people really play this for real. I'm watching Japanese videos, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And then getting inspired by that stuff. And then that game is still... was the highest retro game a combo breaker this year?
It was high up there. Jazzy's done some amazing things for their turnouts.
Shout outs like, to Jazzy Circuit.
Oh, man, yeah. They're killing it. Yeah. I think they're like, I want to say approaching like 300 or 400 players.
Oh, they doubled like Visa. Like Visa is the highest they've ever been, which is incredible, by the way. Shout outs to that. But I saw 3S and it was like literally double Visa's numbers. It's like, it's fucking crazy.
Ton of people.
But. So you really took to Third Strike.
Yeah.
You had your Tekken friends that were, you guys are kind of bummed out on a Tekken 5, right? Yeah. So you guys like gravitated towards a Third Strike.
Yeah, and with Third Strike, it was a little bit more of a return to we're just playing this game kind of among ourselves. We weren't really trying to go to
tournaments. Yeah. You're trying to fill a void here.
Pretty much. And okay. Like, you know, we're getting older at that point, so we're getting into our first jobs, and like, you know, we're trying to find time for games. And
yeah, you still got to do it.
It was a little bit more of a, like, you know, introspective urge to do something that kept your hands busy that you could get better at and feel good about yourself sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the other element of that was that a lot of people don't know this, but Tekken was very, very much not a part of the greater FGC for a large part of its lifespan.
Because it was 2D was like kind of king in that regard, right?
Yeah. Well, there's that. So there's like this like Verdite split between like cultures of like how 3D operates and how 2D operates.
Yes.
They would have separate events for the longest time. You know, people don't know that, you know, Evo is the combination of two tournaments. It's not just Battle by the Bay. It is also Electric Cancel.
Okay.
And, you know, there's like I said, we had tournament in Texas. You know, we didn't have Texas Showdown necessarily running all this stuff. We didn't have like these like super major sort of things. It was a very much like Tekken people in that city put that event on, and you went to go see them and only them. So maybe it was a little bit different in the Midwest. I remember the E tournaments tended to have a lot more 2D presence than ours did. Atlanta, we definitely were focused on Tekken. You go to Final Round, that's a Tekken tournament.
For sure.
So
yeah. TTT, Tekken tournament town, so for
sure. Some of it was cultural, and then some of it was actually like political and bureaucratic on, you know, the support systems that we had.
Sure.
The original forums for 2D games was Shoryuken.
Yeah.
The original forum for 3D games, or more specifically for Tekken, was Tekken Zaibatsu.
Yeah.
And that was because of a split between Mr. Wizard and Castell, who ran Tekken Zaibatsu.
Oh, okay.
So they hated each other, which meant that they had their own websites, which ultimately meant we had separate discussion spaces.
That's interesting. I actually did not know that.
Yeah, so Tekken existed really far away from Street Fighter until Tekken 7. You know, like it might have gotten a little bit better with like Tekken 6, I'd say. It started catching on.
Yeah.
But I wasn't around to see as much of it, so I think it was a little bit more of the like quieter parts of the Dark Ages.
Okay.
6 wasn't like an immensely popular game.
Yeah.
Tekken Tag 2 was popular, but people recognized it wasn't the greatest competitive experience. So it wasn't really until Tekken 7 got its shit together in like 2017 where everybody was like,
let's do it again.
Like all the old people that love Tekken came out,
all the
2D people that had never really genuinely considered Tekken 7 before were like,
let's play.
This is a fucking fighting game. I didn't know that this was a fighting game for, you know, 20 years. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
They didn't know until they put Akuma in it. And Geese, right? The 2D people were like, yeah, I can play Tekken now.
Harada was like, let's talk to him. Let's put that shit in it.
Let's let these motherfuckers eat shit. Yeah.
So, no. And yeah, for all intents and purposes, I stopped in Tekken 5 DR, picked up Third Strike, played Third Strike until Street Fighter 4 came out and functionally killed Third Strike for a minute. We took one look at Vanilla and we're just like, no. Vanilla's, like, I don't think people really appreciate how big of a culture shock it is to play Third Strike and love it and see, you know, all these Dungeon Arcade videos and, like, you know, SBO and everything.
Everything
about it just being beautiful. And then they show you the Street Fighter 4 footage and it's just vanilla Sagat. And you are just like, the word is crestfallen. Like, it is just, you are distraught at what they are doing to this thing you love.
Yeah.
And for me, I knew it didn't have any of the 3D elements I gave a shit about. It didn't have any of the KOF elements I gave a shit about. It, okay. It just, it wasn't there. And it looked bad.
Okay.
At that time, people were super obsessed with, is this game broken? Is this game viable? Mm-hmm. Is it trash?
Whatever. Yeah, 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 definitely.
And the early knee-jerk response at a community level with Street Fighter 4 was fucking broken.
Yeah.
It was busted and not worth your time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we basically just stopped playing fighting games for a minute. So my career at that point took off. I have like an IT thing that I do. And started, you know, really focusing on work.
Sure.
I started playing a little bit more StarCraft 2 whenever that came out, and, you know, stuck with that. That kept my hands and competitive drive, you know, in check.
Kind of like a third strike, you're keeping busy with something, right? Always. Keep the joystick warm, right?
Always.
Still playing, still have the mentality for games, keeping the competitive mindset. Yeah.
Yep. And then so between taking a break from fighting games for that and the move to Seattle occurring, you know, a couple years
later. Okay, okay.
You know, like, I was away from fighting games for a while and mostly focused on StarCraft 2 at that point.
All right, all right.
Yep.
So that's your Tekken story up until Tekken 7?
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much the journey with that. And then you're in Seattle now with Tekken 7 on the horizon or coming out?
Well, there is one important step that I probably should mention. So
go ahead, please.
I want to say about 2012, I saw videos for a game called Skullgirls.
Yeah, here we go. That's right.
The original developer of it was very, very focused on recreating a lot of the golden age things that they liked about fighting games.
Yep.
And more importantly, it triggered, like, every response of, like, you know, that knee-jerk, like, is this game viable? Is it broken? Whatever response. Ironically enough, as fucking crazy as that game is, it checked all those boxes of, this should be viable. They don't want unblockables. They don't want things to be busted. They want to fix things.
Yeah.
And for all its problems and faults that it has now, it's very much trying to be a balanced game for the most part.
Or at least, for its inception, that's what it was going for.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very, very lofty ambition at the time.
Right,
it
was
like, you know, for 15 years up to that point, you had people making a video game being like, is it going to be busted? Is it going to work? Is Sentinel going to spit on you and then kill you?
Exactly.
And, you know, so to have this, like, you know, very intentional, we want this to be a competitive tournament game, you know, and that spoke to me. I wanted to try it out, and I did. So I started playing Skullgirls, and turns out, you know, PNW and West Coast kind of have a scene. And
So with Skullgirls, were you part of like the crew that was kind of like the guinea pigs for playing Skullgirls, like the first players?
I personally wasn't.
Wasn't Sev like one of the first like Skullgirls players, basically?
Sev was.
Sorry, I'm just trying to.
And for those listening,
I remember hearing that. Yeah, go ahead.
Sev is my girlfriend. She's a phenomenal Skullgirls player.
Absolutely.
I would argue that she's, you know, top two in the world. Woo! She's incredible.
Yeah, she's awesome.
But she's been amazing at that game throughout its entire lifespan.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering.
And then, but yeah, so anyway, I found that, you know, it was like, hey, this game has GGPO rollback. I remember hearing a little bit about that in the Third Strike days when it was, you know, a project. I'm like, that's really cool. That means I can play it from Seattle to anywhere. I will try this Netplay thing out. Maybe it's better than X-Band by this point. I had StarCraft to, you know, thank for at least opening my mind to the possibility of Netplay. And then,
sure.
So I tried Skullgirls. And funny enough, I looked up footage of, you know, Skullgirls being played at tournaments, and it was played at EVO. And the second I saw EVO footage of it, you know, every Tekken player, every Third Strike player by that point knows EVO is like the gold standard for this game means something. This game is worth your time.
Sure.
You know, you can count on it to be there.
Yep.
And I found footage where it was Duckator versus Sev.
Oh, wow.
And then I shit you not, I come home from work the next day and I'm like, I'm going to do it. I've practiced my combos. You know, I've like got a basic understanding of the system. I have my character picked out, whatever. And like, I only played one. I played a solo for starting out with Pain Wheel, but anyway, so yeah, I was like, I queue up, And the first person I run into after work is Sev.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, I'm about to fight the Evo finalist for this game. That's fucking crazy. And it's just accessible to me right now. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I don't have to, like, share jumbo jacks and a fucking couch and, like, all the quarters in it with Jin Kid anymore. I just get to fight this fucking person. Like, that's crazy.
Era. It's a whole different era now.
Yeah. Yep. And so... It just blew my mind. And so I stuck with Skullgirls. The West Coast scene started, like, you know, connecting through, like, IRC and, like, talking to each other through the forums, you know, running into each other through Netplay, organizing stuff that way. And it was a very Netplay-driven game.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's amazing Netplay experience. That's one of the best Netcode implementations that a game has ever had.
Right.
So, yeah. And then naturally get closer with the PNW folks, get closer with Sev. And, you know, Sev and I tried very, very hard for a very long time to keep that extremely platonic because I did not want that. I didn't want it on a selfish level. I didn't want it to
complicate. You're going to fuck things up, right?
Yeah. On a selfish level, I didn't want to complicate, you know, anything to do with my, like, internalized lensing, philosophical, you know, dialectic, whatever, and, like, you know, getting better at myself sort of shit.
Okay.
But then on the external level, I really didn't want it to be one of those things where it was like, you know, this could make things awkward as hell in the future for her, for me, for the scene. Like, it could make things like really, really shitty as a precedent for like people trying to chase down, you know, romantic shit at an FGC event where they need to be platonic. Like,
sure.
I just didn't like the idea that.
I can completely understand. Yeah.
And I put that shit on the back burner for like 3-4 years, something like that, and was just like, you know what, I respect this person.
And
we were super professional about it. And
wow.
It just, we were so close through the game for so long and, like, you know, got along so fucking well that, like, at some point it became unavoidable.
Yeah, it was just like, come on, what are we fucking doing here?
It was too obvious. Cool. And could not get away from it. So
That's awesome.
And then,
how long have you been together so far?
That would be since about 2015.
Nice.
So it's been a minute now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a while.
You are so nice about it. You're like, we want to tread this water lightly, right? I get it though. Yeah. Like, I completely understand. You both met through this hobby that you both love and you're proficient at, and you don't want to ruin this thing. You know, this wonderful thing we have, but like, it was just.
It was there.
It was going to happen. It was going to happen.
It was unavoidable.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
And then, funny enough, so it was through the PNW Skullgirl scene that I got back into fighting games at large. And, you know, we're trying everything that comes out. Sev herself, her background was originally BlazBlue. She was a nasty BlazBlue player in the CS2 era. And to be honest, people don't know about it, but she's nasty in every iteration of that game since. She'll play it, she'll lab it out. She's an absolute tech god in anything she touches.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, like, I know anything, I know that about her.
I think if you consider who the best, you know, North America Kokonoe players were at her peak, it would be probably Bananakin, NC Pain, and her.
Okay.
You know, and like... She has maintained that with every single video game she has ever played.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Like, that's her standard of excellence. You know, it's very similar to mine. It's a huge part of why we get along, why we work.
But yep.
Anyway, so with Skullgirls, I started playing, you know, more games. We started playing Uni. Yeah. We went to, you know, locals for other stuff, and I got curious about BlazBlue from time to time. And then I go to this, you know, very first Unial release tournament. I'm like, this game's crazy. I'm going to try it. You know, we got the Japanese version.
Oh, yeah.
I go and, like, you know, get my, you know, 0-2 out of the way, get trashed on it day one, whatever. And then it turns out that Kyle Watula is there.
Yeah.
Kyle literally moved up, went to his first local that he could find, and started preaching that vampire gospel.
And here we go. Yeah.
And that would have been 2014, whenever the fuck Unial came out, I started playing Vampire.
Yeah. Wow, okay. So here we are. This is, you know, we've talked the whole journey now.
Yep.
Up until Vampire Savior, correct?
Yep.
So let's enter the Vampire. Kyle moves from Cincinnati. Here's our connection, right? Kyle moves from Cincinnati to Seattle. And here we go.
Started playing Vampire. Realized just how much Vampire execution and one of the most vindicating things I've ever seen in fighting game discourse was Nakanishi talking about how you can really feel the characters in that game. there was like some morning, you know, Good Morning America from Japan
yeah.
kind of thing where him and Takahashi were talking about how you can connect with this game, you can feel it.
Yeah.
You know, the physical actions of this game mean so much. And like, to me, that was, you know, preaching to the Tekken choir. And then when I saw the speed of it and the mix-ups and how, like, you know, the mechanics work and everything, I was like, this is close enough for Skullgirls for me to mechanically grasp and be ready for.
You know,
there's actually not a lot of games that are as fast as Vampire Savior.
No.
I would say Skullgirls is actually up there.
Sure.
Some of the nastier things that you can do to people in Skullgirls, while it may not be unblockable, I would rather take the unblockables of Vampire, some of that gross shit. Yeah,
unfuckwithable.
Yeah, it's just, it's an,
unreactable.
Skullgirls
sure.
is a nasty, nasty game.
Yeah, it's dirty. But yeah, VSAB's dirty as shit.
VSAB's nasty too, don't get me wrong. But yeah, so from that point, started working on it and started, you know, kind of saying, you know, forgive me, Padre, it's time for me to go back to the old me. And like, I'm going to get my hands ready for this and... you know, start really, really like digging down and finding what it is that makes me good at this game and, you know, hopefully cultivate it.
Yeah.
And with Vampire, we started traveling, I want to say...
my first time physically meeting you and Sev was Frosty Faustings.
Was it 2016?
2017. One of those.
I think it was 2016.
I think it was 2016.
It was 2016 that I came up solo. Because Kyle couldn't make it and Sev and everybody else couldn't make it, and then 2017 was when we brought the whole crew and we had the, you know, VMP meets PNW.
Yep.
VMP and W is now a family.
Yeah, no, that's literally what happened.
It's all Kyle's kids coming together at the family reunion sort of thing. And
I remember Kyle telling us about you guys, and then all of us like hearing about each other and then knowing about each other online, and then
I was always wondering if that was weird for y'all, like it was just like a, oh, dad got remarried, he's got new kids,
he's got his new kids.
And I was like always like so respectful with y'all because I was like so worried that was gonna be a thing, and I was just like, you know what? These motherfuckers know Kyle. That motherfucking breakthrough awkwardness or anything with a fucking sledgehammer, like it's nothing.
Yeah.
So and then we met at that Frosty like 2016.
Yeah.
And like, we started talking about like, I think like competitive Pokemon or something.
Oh,
and
dude, I was like, oh my god, I gotta talk to this guy.
Yeah, we started talking about like, I think it was like VGC, because I think that was the year after somebody had made like this like sick Pachirisu
Seijun Park. Yeah. Yep.
And like, no, we were you know, thick as thieves at that event, and
it was a great time.
So it was just like, I knew at that point that on a social level, you know, like everything that was great about all the fighting games that I played up to that point, Tekken, Skullgirls, Third Strike, I knew the video game part of it was, you know, something I cared about. I knew it was like, I want to get good at this. It helps me deal with the world. It helps me find myself, whatever. The part of Tekken where we were this social family, I didn't really experience until Vampire Savior. I mean, like, we were close, and obviously, like, you know, Seven and I started dating and everything, and we were best friends through Skullgirls and all that sort of shit. But the like greater family connection of like, oh, that's Atlanta, we know those Atlanta Tekken players, like that feeling didn't happen until Vampire Savior again. And it was very magical. It was like,
sure.
It was like, you know, this is what fighting games are supposed to be. And if it seems like I'm a nice person or I'm a kind person or I like doing things, it's because I am always trying to cultivate that.
Yeah.
That is super important to me.
We started talking about Vampire and stuff, and actually one of the questions I have for you here is with you know, cultivating like that side of the world and cultivating the scene and what you do with Vampire and how serious you take it and how you love everyone in the scene and we're all friends and stuff now. What do you hope for the scene? We just come off the heels of Makai 2023. What did you hope for the scene then and now?
So then I would say just that the game survives. I mean, like obviously we were a smaller game for a long time.
Yes.
And, you know, it was like, can this 20-year-old game really capture people's interest? Can it draw in new players? Can it, you know, do these like milestone things that we needed to do to be included and thought of and considered? And, you know, the answer was obviously yes.
Yes.
You know, in hindsight, it's easy to say that. But at the time, that's what I wanted. I wanted Vampire to do well.
Yeah.
And then now I want it to do well for everyone.
Nice. Okay, give me some of that. I feel like this. I feel like we started, we met or whatever in Vampire, and like, yeah, you're kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it feels good, right? Yep, yep. So you can kind of keep going with it. And then now, I want it all to be good. I want everybody to be good. Like, yeah. Not that I feel like I was ever selfish with these things or with this, because it was always about other people being with you, right? Yep. That's how you make a scene. That's why everything's important. But like, I feel like with this scene like Vampire, and this might sound weird, I don't know, but like, I feel like I want the best for everyone, but like, I feel like every single person is important in a scene like that.
Yeah. So it is. And when I say that, I should probably contextualize it a little bit.
Okay.
So when I say everyone, I meant that in, you know, stages of the game's growth, you know, so.
Okay.
It scales over time. That goal may be the same, but the scaling changes the contextual appreciation of it a lot. So starting out, I want to be good.
Yeah.
I want my friends to be good. Yes. I want Seattle to be good. I want PNW to be good. Yes. I want West Coast to be good. I want NA to be good.
Uh-huh.
I want everybody between the people that we know in Japan and us to be good. You know, I want us to connect and, you know, really experience this game and share it together. And we've gotten really far and really, you know, strong and healthy on the back of NA and Japan kind of like meshing and sharing a lot. And when I say everyone now, what it means to me is including South America and Europe.
And they are, friends with them. Yeah. I mean,
everyone.
Yeah, yeah. That's for sure. For sure. Yeah. Don't ever forget about Europe and South America. Like they're very, very serious about it too. I feel like with South America specifically, I feel like we're fostering a good relationship with them during the pandemic. I think a lot of that happened. I remember doing a lot of commentary for these players I didn't know. Yeah. And that was the amazing part to me. It was like, been doing this for a little while now. I still don't know everybody because there's new people to this old ass game. It's incredible.
I've seen it with Skullgirls, so I know it can be done.
Exactly.
The EU people are amazing. They're wonderful souls and I love them to death. Shout out to my boy Big Tony in Naples. How you doing?
What's up, Big Tony?
Yeah, but anyway, so he's that dude is sick, by the way. He's literally a pizza baker in the home of pizza.
Sicily?
No, Naples.
Naples. Oh, okay. See, tell you what, so, I know. A Big Tony, I'm thinking of the frozen pizza.
No, but but he's
hey,
like
Tony.
He's an incredible baker.
No, that's
funny. He posts all these like thirst traps for me with like focaccia bread that's like baked at like 5 in the morning every day.
He sends you food porn?
Oh yeah, he sends that shit out to the world.
Okay.
You find it yourself, but
no. Is he on Twitter?
Yeah.
Or okay.
He's actually Big Tony on Twitter. I'll throw it up whenever I share this link around. But anyway, yeah, and then that also includes Oceania too. So Australia and New Zealand. I know from experience with Skullgirls players, there's a lot of overlap and folks that play both games. I know.
That's awesome.
There's somebody in New Zealand named Mao who is incredible, just like everybody else named Mao in the fucking FGC apparently, but he's a Jetta player.
Yeah, the Vega player Mao.
he was one of our, you know,
okay,
absolute, amazingly diligent, you know, test everything out in the lab, sort of, is this real, is this not, players for Skullgirls. He's great.
Okay.
So I'd love to see what he's got in Vampire. I'd love to see what his scene's got. I'd love to see all of those motherfuckers come over to Vegas and have a blast. I'd like to go over there and see birds. Like, you know, I want to share everything. Like, all of it.
I wish. This is way off topic, but I just thought about it because I know you like birds a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you know what a Dracula parrot is?
They are gorgeous birds.
They are so amazing. I saw it posted the other day. I was like, they were talking about Vampire. I'm like, I got to ask you about a Dracula parrot. They
are gorgeous birds. Like, if Blade was a parrot, that's what that bird would be. It was amazing to see that for the first time.
Where are those from? Do you know?
Just
curious.
This is one of those questions I always have to ask Seb because she knows way more.
Oh,
about
she knows more about birds.
Yeah, I know a lot about general birds, but like
the cool crazy ones.
She's the parrot specialist. She knows everything there is to know about that one.
Okay. No, I just thought about that because I was like, I'm gonna ask him at some point Dracula parrot.
No,
that should be the Mackay mascot one year.
The Mackay McCall.
Yeah, the McCall World Cup. Oh shit, man. So yeah, I was asking you like what you hope for the scene and everything, and like you definitely gave me a really, really good answer. So after coming off, what did you think of Makai this year? What did you think of New Arcade Legacy? And
this year was very important. So in a lot of ways, I stopped playing very, very, very seriously when the pandemic started.
I did too.
I did too. A lot of us did. It kind of shut stuff down.
For real.
I have a pretty big aversion to net play again. You know, around Skullgirls, I realized, hey, it's not representative of me at my best. Therefore, I'm already kind of tilted with it and don't trust it for my own development.
Yeah, I got my problems with it. I'm the same way. I really am.
It's like I always want to be at my best. And the fact that there's doubt about my ability to present my best, not necessarily as an excuse or an obstacle, but specifically like...
That's a good way to put it.
When I fail, I need to know that the failure is 100% mine so I can fix it. And if I don't have that, I'm extremely frustrated with that situation.
I don't like that feeling.
Yeah. I need to own my mistakes when they happen. And the fact that it is a potential vector for a mistake that is not me, that is an external thing, drives me insane.
That's a great way of putting it, honestly. It really is.
So anyway, with Vampire Savior, I'm not net playing. I don't want to travel because I don't want to, you know, risk anything happening with Sev's health. She's like,
okie dokie.
You know, she can't travel or be at risk for a lot of COVID stuff, you know, because of immune system stuff.
Yeah, autoimmune disease and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, like, I get it. I totally get it.
So, you know, we're basically in this position of we only play games with each other in the house. And for me and Sev, you know, it's kind of a return to, you know, hey, me and Jen Kid playing on the couch. And, you know, we will be as best we can individually and against each other and, you know, push each other as a two-person team.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to fill a lot of the other things that Vampire brought to my life. You know, I'm trying to talk to people in the Discord. I'm trying to come up with tech every so often.
Yeah.
Like that sort of stuff. But functionally, I stopped playing for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever the pandemic started, I had just come back from Japan. I was, you know, at Frosty Faustings 2020. And then a couple weeks later, you know, they're like, hey, the world's about to fucking go into lockdown. You can't do this anymore.
That was the only NA tournament that year live was Frosty 20. And I was like the first one I didn't like go to. But like,
And they dodged a massive bullet because they were the only event that didn't lose its deposit on a convention center or on a meeting space or a ballroom or any of that stuff. And it was huge.
We were so excited. Like, as you know, Gomit coming off of Makai 2019, which is an absolute smacker. Go check those videos out if you haven't.
And that was at a really, really... it feels like it was such a short time ago because like the time in the lockdown and pandemic moves so quickly without context.
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel the same way.
But I recognize, you know, it was actually a long time ago where it was like
it's a different world now.
2020, like they were at like the peak of their game. You know, like Elven Shadow had that Frosty Faustings was the first Frosty Faustings that they had at I think it was the Renaissance.
Yeah, that was the new was it a new venue?
It was a new venue.
Okay,
they weren't doing it in Elmhurst anymore. It was massive.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. And they did everything like as amazingly as Chicago always does it. And it was just like, okay, that's crazy. You know, I'm leaving this experience and I'm just like, wow, they're really huge. Like, there's not really a lot slowing them down.
No.
And then, surprise, there's this crazy virus that slows everything down.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't do anything about it. And it's not their fault. And there's no recourse except, you know, wait it out, make the best of it, make content, try to keep people up, all that.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
Pretty much put playing on the back burner because I only really like playing fighting games in person, and I'm not really an online grinder. I should play more. I always feel that guilt, like, I should play more online, but if it's not your cup of tea, it's all good, you know? And I'm lucky. You are too. Like, we're lucky. We have people to play games with, you know? It's like, good people to play games with, so that's it's all good. But, you know, the world's shutting down at that point, and I just feel like, man, Vsauce was, we were so hot. We were all coming off so hot of so many awesome things going on.
That was frustrating too, because it wasn't just like
the guy 2020 getting shut down. Like
the, you know, event organizer helper in me is like, hey, you know, these events are doing amazing. But more importantly, like, you know, VMP was doing amazing. Zach and the entire team, they were like, you know, mastering their craft and getting really fucking good at it. And like, more importantly, they were getting offers to, you know, stream these events and do it way better.
Yeah. We got put on. Shout outs to Rick, by the way.
Yeah.
He put us on for sure.
And then like, you know, now we're seeing, you know, the fruits of that finally after, you know, a long gap.
It's but back. Yep.
That was supposed to come through in 2020. And I've, you know, it was yeah. hard to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It was rough. I remember talking to him about, you know, it costs money to do things, and we had all this stuff that really couldn't be used. So we used a couple of the trophies, like the team tournament one. We brought it to Combo Breaker last year to use it. Had shirts and stuff that were made up as well. And definitely was selling some merch at, you know, Makai this past weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a beautiful, this weekend was beautiful because it was finally this, we're all back, right?
Like we are fucking back.
Back.
We are not just back, we are fucking back.
We're back like cook crack.
this family reunion, this this stream team, Vampire Arcadia, like
we're here.
Events are getting huge. Like I said, everything that was supposed to coming through in 2020 is finally fucking back.
Yeah.
And it's like happening. That matters. So,
yep.
You know, we went on a long course through history discussion, but when you ask, you know, what are my feelings? What are my takeaways from Makai? It is, we are fucking back. We proved it. We're here for it. You know, it matters. Like, as an emotional, you know, vindication for these people. You know, for a skill check and like, you know, can I turn on OBS and have the right sources go through it? Can I, you know, I'm this is not just Vampire Arcadia because I know they got that.
Yeah, sure.
No, but for me personally, figuring out all this shit and then like, you know, am I good to travel? You know, am I going to do all this shit? Are these people going to recognize me? You know, like, it's just like so many things that were like put behind for me
gone for a long time. Yeah.
They're back.
Hell
so
yeah.
For me, it mattered a lot.
That's
I feel like a lot of other people are feeling the same.
No, we do. Yeah. I feel the same way. I feel like Combo Breaker happened last year, and that was incredible. That was my the first.
It was. I felt like
first that
was,
major.
I watched it personally
from COVID.
I feel like it was like everybody just kind of dipping their toes in the water. Like I don't know if fighting games are recognizable. I don't know if they'll recognize me. This one felt like Makai.
This
felt like us.
I like that because I guess what I'm going to say is I feel like CB22, specifically for Vampire, like attendance, it wasn't our highest tournament. And prior to COVID, we kept topping all of the numbers. And then now, finally, 2023, because we had CB last year. It was great and everything.
Yeah.
But this year, we have Makai again. 2 weeks later, we're having Combo Breaker with the highest entrance the Vampire's ever. 119 from what I see.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, we're back. That's, I do feel like this year, and you're putting your toe in the water, I like that because I do feel like not, like people were weary to come out because it was like, should we? Would we?
Yep.
Or is it the same? So is it different? You know?
If CB22.
It was fun, but yeah, it was an odd feeling.
If CB22 was getting your toes in the water and then Makai is...
Cannonball.
No. Makai was getting waist deep and being like, yo, water's fine. And then like, you know, these upcoming events are going to be Kyle Watula ripping his shirt off like it's a hotel room.
Yeah.
It's going to be absolutely.
It's going to be Noise Complaint 1 and 2.
Yep.
So we are, we're up to speed. Holy shit. Thanks for your history and your stories and your processes and emotions and mental and physical things you've been through, just in your life, your whole story is awesome, man. Like, I really appreciate it. But we're up to now, and ladies and gentlemen, once again, Feast of Pod episode 19, Hillary. It's crazy to think that you are, I just did an interview with Hillary in my house I grew up in. This is the Bellamy house. So I got a couple pictures I'm going to show you after we're done. I got something for you. We're rounding home here. Okay. I got something for you real quick. I just want to say, my experience when I went to PNW after like we met for, I think we met maybe like one or two times before I went out to Northwest Majors. It was only a couple tops.
So I think it was Frosty Fausting 2016 and 2017 that we had hung out with. 2016, we realized, hey, we're going to get along. 2017, we partied and we were family.
Yeah, we hung out all night. Yep.
So when Northwest Majors 2017 rolled around.
Yes.
Everybody came in. We had our Skullgirls family coming through for that one too.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let me put this in the context and I'll let him talk a little bit too about this. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the wildest parties I've ever been to in my life. There was a whole house. So it was was it you, Jace, and Tad's house?
Yes,
y'all were roommates.
That's correct.
And it's like, okay, so I've known them prior to this, like, me and Hillary me. It's about 2 years in me and Hillary knowing each other. But like, you know, I've known the Wetulas and I've known Tad for some time at this point. Yeah. And they're living together. And then my new friend here, Hillary, is also living there. So it's like, I got put up. Y'all were so nice. I got a room. I got a bed.
Yep.
I got a place to party. There was always food. There was beer. There was coffee. It was one of the best times I've ever had in my life. It was the biggest party I've ever been. It was just incredible. I met Bang there. I met Rat Baby. I met I met so many people that like I would have maybe down the line, but like otherwise would not have met.
Yep.
Yeah. I just want to say that thank you for that and putting like me, Zach, and Leah up to come out there, because like that's a memorable riding the motorcycle with Tad, looking down like I could die at any point. I love this. Yep. You know, it's just like, it was a really memorable experience, and that was I think that was the furthest I've ever traveled.
Did you win that Northwest Majors?
I did.
Okay, I think that was the one where your stick malfunctioned. I remember talking to you.
I used Seb's stick to win.
Yeah, I remember talking you down because you were really stressed out.
I was so pissed. Zach was mad too because we wanted a real battle, you know? Yeah. So he was mad because my stick messed up and then it messed up again. And I mean, he deserved to take the game. He didn't really want to, but like, you know, he's taking the game because it's the second time. And we were both pissed, but I remember Seb let me borrow his stick.
I remember.
And I was like, ooh, I like this.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, it felt really good.
That party was insane.
Whew, and man.
I try to be humble about it because like...
shit was live.
Jason, we both put our whole ass in throwing that party and making it as good as possible for everybody.
Because
we just flat out fucking love all of y'all.
I could tell. Yeah, yeah.
And Skullgirls players included. So I mean,
it was like, the Skull Vamp House is what it was.
We had Ken and Black from Virginia.
That's my first time meeting Pat.
Yeah.
And that dude, me and him get along swimmingly, man. Oh, yeah.
Love him with my whole soul.
Patrick's awesome, dude, for sure.
DeKill Sage, we had
some first time meeting DeKill Sage, yep.
Yeah. And so like we wanted to make sure everybody was happy and healthy.
Yep.
And then at Sev's apartment, because she was about maybe a mile away from the house. We actually had all the Vancouver folks, so that house was not just, you know, everybody staying there. It was like, it became ground zero for like the merging of two households, two games, like all
there's
of our
so friends. Many people.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It's funny because like I trying to be humble about it because I was focused on like, you know, hey, I want to make sure these people have a good time. I want to make sure everybody gets to the venue. I want to make sure like all the logistics go off and just like plan on it like a mom, whatever.
Oh, you mothered that shit hardcore. Like, and thanks for doing that. Like lining up places to eat and all that. Cause it's no easy task.
Yeah. But like, even so, like looking back on it, like I know it was a good time and not just people trying to like be nice, because the further we get, the further we get away from that point in time, the more people were there start telling me, yo, that party in 2017 Northwest Majors, how do we do that again? How do we recreate that? Like they get more and more hungry to get that back. And I'm just like, okay, maybe I did a good thing.
Yo,
like,
I obviously knew it wasn't me that felt that way, but you do have a lot of people from that time coming and saying that to you nowadays still.
So Sage has actually mentioned that a lot too, where he's like,
that shit was dude, it was so much fun.
Sage has talked to me. He's like, so there's this really big stream team called Summit, who did a whole bunch of Smash stuff. Enormous for Dota. They are huge.
Didn't they do a Dragon Ball Z thing? Or did they do Smash Brothers? All that stuff.
They've done Dragon Ball. They've done a few like big show-off games and exhibitions and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Sage's motivation for wanting to do a lot of the Skullgirl stuff that he's doing is kind of fostering that, you know, hey, we can throw a party. We can get people together and like, you know, just... That house party really fucking affected a lot of people.
Yeah. Like, no, it did.
Crazy. So
it makes me want to have a house. Because I would love to like do that. Like, oh my God.
That was one of the like deciding factors for the house that we chose that I live in now, where it was like,
oh yeah,
we rented this place. We were like 4,000 square feet, 6 bedrooms.
Oof.
Upstairs, downstairs,
you know,
3 bathrooms, like huge garage space, like tons of place to grill, cook, you know, serve, like all of this. I'm like, I'm thinking about building, like, you know, functionally a fucking salty suite all the time. And when we got that place, it was 2017. You know, we had just left after that Northwest Majors thing. We were like, how do we do that
better? Man.
And then, you know, it just happened that way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, Northwest Majors went under, so we never really had, like,
what happened with that?
That is
a whole different
That is, like, I don't even know how to describe.
Okay,
that,
that's fine.
I'm not super close to the organizers themselves. Okay. I was always helping them.
Just curious.
Yeah. On, like, you know, the bracket running side or the hospitality side, but, like, I didn't really run the event or know that much about it.
Okay.
But Northwest Majors ended up going under, so we never really had the opportunity to use that house for what I got it for. So at that point,
it and then the world shut down. And then so it was another couple of years tacked on. Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, we've used it to host guests coming through. Like, we had Snuggle Guns come up there and visit us for a minute.
Nice. You know,
we've had Derek come up there and visit us for a minute.
Okay.
Bang Lele, Internet Slime.
Yeah.
And then we've had, obviously, like, our Canadian friends come down for Skullgirls. We've had other folks come in through Skullgirls. But, you know, never really flexed it for what it was worth. You know, I kind of built this ion cannon to have this party, and then you know, I can't find my target.
It's hard. It's like it's got to gain footing somehow or something. Yeah, I wrote it down specifically, and I've told you even times outside of this, like, yo, I'm drunk or something. Like, remember that time? I was like, of course you do. Of course you do. Of course everyone that fucking went there did. That was incredible. And I was just like, as you said, like, people just saying, oh, it was great to be nice. It was like, look, especially then, that's an absolute fucking maniac, okay?
Yeah.
And y'all, I had people that were as crazy as me there. And it was great. It was just a great time, but I really don't have much else for you here. I just want to say thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I've always wanted to do this podcast with you. I asked you shit probably like a year or so ago, and you're like, oh, you're gonna have to be up late at night. And I'm like, that's not what I do right now. It was something like that, and I was like, okay. But we finally got it.
I think I remember asking you in
2017. Oh, did you?
I remember asking you in 2017 when you were going to start a podcast.
Okay.
When you were going to start a career in radio, when you were going to get all this together.
Okay, I have some more stuff to say then. Okay, Sorry. No. This is fucking great. Because I'm like, am I missing something? I'm always like, am I missing something? I'm missing something. Okay, no, I was. This is very important, especially to the podcast itself. I did want to say this. The reason this podcast exists is Hillary planted this seed in my head. I got leech seeded. Like, serious. Like, I really did. Like, so when we were at that party, and that's why I remember this party so well. There's just so many things that happened, and this specifically. We were in the garage. We were smoking cigarettes and drinking. And you were like, you should do a vampire podcast, or you should do a radio show, or you should do something like this, right? Basically this. Yeah. We just didn't know what it was going to be, what is blah, blah, blah. And that planted the seed for the little baby that is Feast of Pod. Yep. So thank you, because you said that, you believed in me, and I had a lot of shit to work through in my life to even get to a level to be like, oh, I can think clearly for a second. So that planted the seed, though.
So
2017 is really when this, like, kind of fucking started, because you told me that.
It is funny that you say leech seed, because I don't think you're aware of how accurate that is.
Because it took time to fucking grow and get the health back.
Not just that. Like, so when you kind of like at the party, you're like, yeah, you know, I actually went to broadcasting school.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've always thought about doing that, but I never really like pursued it super duper hard up to this point.
And, yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, you know, maybe he'll take it to heart. I hope he does. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you care about people in your life, you want them to do the thing that makes them happy, that lets them be themselves.
For sure.
Know, everything that I like preach about in terms of like, you know, oh, I want to be better at Tekken, or I want to be better at weightlifting, or I want to be better at, you know, martial arts, or I want to be better at this or that or whatever. I end up wanting to enable that in other people, because that's what brings me joy. That's like the best way that I know how to share it.
That's like what you said about, like, you know, the vampire community then and now.
Right.
Where you're at with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I told you that and you were like, yeah, I'll think about it. And then, like, you know, nothing really happened for a while. I was like, you know, give him his time.
Yeah.
Like, let him think about it, whatever.
Yeah.
And then.
Oh, it took time.
Then the world imploded. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going through, you know, my like lockdown depression and. You know, it was brutal. It had hands. And
oh, so your talent. We already know. Yep.
So when, like, you know, in the middle of all of this, like, this podcast starts up that I've wanted to hear for years. And, you know, it was like somebody I care about deeply just going off and doing exactly what makes them happy. And yeah. I'm just like,
yeah.
Every single turn, I get a little bit of HP back from that fucking leech seed that I planted quite okay. some time ago.
Okay, okay. There it is. There it is. That's beautiful, man. That really is. No, so obviously that was an exchange between us, but like everyone else now hears it and knows if I've never told anyone else that. That is a real thing that happened, and it's not like the Shadow Man. that really happened. But this is a real thing that happened, and like, yeah, man, like, thank you so much. Like, this is great. Like, I don't really know what else to say, but I have Hillary in my house.
We're fucking back, baby.
And we're back, and that's the moral of the story. We're back, the dinosaur story. Hillary, I guess just in closing, where can we find you if you want to be found? And what are you up to next? Blah, blah, blah.
I would say for now, I'm back to focusing on Vampire Savior again. I want to get completely back in shape with the game. I want to get my hands ready. I want to like remember everything about the meta. I want to like do everything that I can technically.
Right.
Help foster new people.
Yep.
Coaching new players either through the Discord or, you know, whenever they contact me at events or whatever has always been really important to me. So if you have questions about Vampire Savior, it is not an empty promise. It is, I will look at your match footage and tell you what you are fucking up and how to develop it to fix it.
He has evolved into this level of Vampire, believe me. If you don't know, please check out Hillary on Twitter, please. Yep.
And so fostering the new generation through any of those mediums that I can.
Yeah.
That's the biggest goal. Getting back into, you know, competitive weightlifting. Apparently.
Oh, yeah. Follow him for that as well.
Oh, yeah.
So Hillary Lifts, right?
Correct.
Okay, cool.
And
cool.
So that is, you know, kind of what kept me sane through the pandemic. But it's, you know, kind of turned into a do it as long as I can, lifelong passion sort of thing.
That shows, yeah.
Ray bit me with the rock climbing bug this weekend, so maybe there'll be some of that, but...
Nice! You
know,
nice.
That's what's on the horizon, is those three things right now.
Okay.
And then...
You doing combo?
I'm going to hold off on Combo Breaker.
Okay. I mean, this was a big ask, a long trip to come to Cincy for Makai, you know what I mean? Like, it's a long way, like, it just is, but...
It's not that it was particularly, like, rough trip, it's just, like...
I guess that's not what I meant, but I think you're understanding. Yeah. Like, it's just a lot. It's a long travel. You have to take time out of your life to come and do this. But yeah, you chose Makai and you chose wisely.
Yeah.
You chose wisely. But yeah. Okay, so no Combo Breaker this year, but we're going to see more of you. Hillary's going to be all over the place once again. We're finally getting back to it. We're back. This is the moral of this podcast here at the very end of it. But yeah. Yeah, I love you, dude. And... once again, thank you for doing this with me.
Of course.
Always wanted
to
do it.
You know I had to see this one through.
Absolutely. And this is my second live recorded one. It's very important. And I hope everybody enjoyed because I definitely did. And yeah, if you want to check out Hillary, at Hillary Lifts on Twitter. Do you stream or anything? Or do you...
So I've thought about it. Something that I really was really kicking around as an idea was maybe doing match critique or match analysis with players and helping them with things that they're stuck on.
I really wanted
to do that for a while.
Okay.
It's something that Mar has been kicking around with me for a while too, where we wanted to like get somebody into a call, maybe watch them play net play, work through them with stuff, you know, introduce them to some ideas.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
You two are really good at that stuff, analyzing everything, critiquing it, and breaking it down, right?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a
really into it. You are. Yeah, I know. It's perfectionist.
So
when
it comes to the stream part of it, I got to get that straight and sorted out. Okay. So maybe Mar's ahead of me enough that I can just lean on him for the carry.
Oh,
he'd
help you for sure. He'd do it for you. But oh, my God. Come here. Give me a hug. We got to get a hug. And then we're going to hit stop. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Fetus of Pod, episode 19, VMP and W, Hillary, that's a mouthful, and we will see you next time. Two words, have a nice weekend. Peace.